sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
Oui, oui, je m'appelle Jacques.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha. Now I know why you did that.
Oui, 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 oui. Lots of oui, oui's in this movie.
Actually, there isn't one. You don't see one.
Is anybody's That's wondering? True, there isn't. It's a little light
you
on.
You see a fake something that is actually a weapon.
We'll get to it. Yeah. We'll get to it at all. And welcome to the show. This week, we are reviewing Knife Plus Heart. As always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, go back to TV Corner, reviewing Chucky, Season 1, Episode 5, Little, Little Lies.
We have now full speed ahead, jumped from any sort of conflict and... everybody's best friends now, except for the cousin.
Yeah, it's almost playing out like a movie, you know, like
Like it quickly churned. Like,
yeah, yeah. This whole thing was, I think I mentioned that last week too. That this whole thing feels like a kind of a movie. The way it's paced,
yep.
The way it's progressing. Not my favorite episode. Pretty boring. What do you think?
Yeah, it felt a little bit like it's very catty sort of writing. You know, they're texting each other because they're concerned about Chucky, and then the cousin, the boyfriend of the girl, I've forgotten everybody's names already. So we've got Jake, Devin, and...
Lexi. They're excluding Junior... which pretty much tracks because this trio seems like the trio that are aware of Chucky and want to stop him. And Junior has a relationship with pretty much like with Lexi, and then has is Jake's cousin, but he's the one on the outside because he doesn't know anything about Chucky, that he's alive.
No, but it'd probably help. He doesn't just think that his girlfriend is now hanging out with a serial killer, but I guess nobody suspects him of being the killer anymore since the cop got killed in the next room while he was stuck in the interrogation room.
His cousin, Jake, right? They thought Jake was the killer.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what? I think this was a Valentine's Day episode. Is that why there was so much focus on relationships?
That would make sense. Yeah.
I think that's also what I'm gathering.
It did air November 9th, 2021.
But didn't they have a lot of hearts?
Maybe it's a Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very relationship style episode. Yeah. The flashbacks. There's a lot of flashbacks in this one. Chucky flashbacks.
I was a little confused with this week's flashbacks of Charles Ray Lee. Was that his name?
Yes.
Am I saying that right?
So what, as a teen.
Yeah.
He helps the kids with their imagination by finding Captain Hook. Just kidding. It's like that janitor or the custodian guy was kind of bullying him or whatever, and he kills him and cuts his hand off so he can be like, look, I found Captain Hook, guys. Right? Or was that the last episode?
That was the last episode. This one was the...
So this was just him meeting...
Tiffany.
Jennifer Tilly's character.
Yeah. Which, I think they kind of, well, okay, so the it was fine. I mean, I get it. I figured that's who it was when they were, when we first, when the first flashback happens, and then we see a girl and a guy like kind of like heavily making out in a club or something, and then she kind of gets too violent, and
yes.
Charles is watching them and kind of watching it all goes down and sees her as like the next person to mentor, or like sees something he can manipulate or whatever out of her.
I didn't understand the part. So, well, so that same lady you're talking about is the one that you assume is going to be Jennifer Tilly, but it's not, right? Because they pick some other girl, and then that woman ends up being Jennifer Tilly, except she's a redhead.
Yeah, I was confused by that. Yeah, I was just kind of just setting up, like, like, well, I wanted to make note before we got to the confusing part of the flashback was that they did a really kind of thing I was, like, not a fan of, was they just put a voiceover of the actor.
Well, it wasn't there until she started stabbing and killing too, and then all of a sudden that voice came out of nowhere.
Now
like,
I get
it. Oh, do I sound like this? Is this what I sound like now? And he's like, yeah, baby, it's okay, and whatever.
So that wasn't a younger Charles Lee Ray. He had already possessed that body? Is that what I'm gathering?
I don't know.
Isn't it confusing?
What's going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say that is a young Charles Lee Ray, right? And it is kind of a voiceover, but also I don't know if the guy's just doing an impression of him.
No. Yeah, it, to me, it sounded like they were just doing, Brad Dourif's voice over the actor.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to pay attention to see if it was just a voiceover. There were moments where it sounded like the guy didn't sound like Brad Dourif anymore. So I'm wondering if he was just doing like a really good impersonation of him. I mean, we can just look it up, I guess. But
No, that's too easy. We're gonna just stumble along here until maybe there's something in the trivia. Maybe there's something in the trivia we can glean from.
What trivia? On your notes?
Yeah. I always write in the header trivia. And then just
make sure to input on IMDb after done with episode Rolando's personal trivia.
It says that his daughter played a younger version of Charles Lee Ray in the 80s flashback scene.
Yeah, that was like obviously her. I mean, she kind of looks like him and she did the voice and all that. That one I got right away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She even had the same mannerisms.
I don't know. Yeah, I was super confused. I was super confused by, like, it's been pretty easy to follow. This one was a little hard to follow, these flashbacks, because he's just swapping bodies a lot, which is, I guess they want to show you that so they can see for the twist of the, not really a twist, but like the way they ended the episode with him doing a little incantation or something and moved from the burnt Chucky body to the new Chucky body named Teddy.
And I'm not sure how this is following. I don't know if we're supposed to... when it's Brad Dourif's daughter playing him,
mm-hmm.
and Jennifer Tilly is now Jennifer Tilly, I don't know if that's supposed to be... whatever present time 2000 what like 3 or whenever Bride of Chucky came out,
right? Something that was like that. Confusing too, because
supposed to be during that time and in between swapping bodies and stuff like that, so you just get the idea.
Yeah, I think definitely some time has passed, because they make note of that. I think they insinuate that Chucky and Jennifer Tilly's character had been doing this pole murdering thing together for a while, and they were getting on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
So it's insinuated some time has passed since the original flashback of them getting together, you know. So
But I also think, personally, not at all, because I accidentally saw a thumbnail, that it is setting up Chucky's daughter is, or I mean, not Chucky's daughter, Brad Dourif's daughter, whatever that character's name is,
mm-hmm.
is going to make an appearance, and I think it's actually closer to present day when that stuff's happening.
Yeah, that tracks. Yeah, I'm assuming that was gonna. Who is she playing now, aside from?
I don't think anybody, but I don't know.
Nika Pierce. Question. Okay.
Oh yeah, that's right. Because she keeps her actual personality comes back, right? And she's a paraplegic. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It just seems a little like convoluted. I feel like to me it's a little convoluted, a little like. And I was kind of surprised to see Jennifer Tilly in this episode. I kind of thought maybe they'd kind of hold her off
for like a second, third season or something.
Yeah. But it looks like she's here. She's good. Well, technically it's the past, right? It's technically she's not part of the story with the kids. She's just appearing, just sort of an origins for her character.
It's also, we haven't seen anything from what's his face, the original, played the original kid in the first movie. Just that throwaway thing in the phone.
That felt like something they're going to do either at the end of this season or start of next.
Yeah.
Whatever. That seems like something like they're plotting now in the first episode and then they're going to get back to eventually down the line.
And what? We got the mayor for some reason has not been killed off yet because they really want to have a foil bad guy character, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, that's Lexi's mom, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But she's being quite the shitty person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you're right. I liked aspects of this episode, and by no means at all am I saying it was a bad episode. The series is still holding very well. I think it's like a good series. But it wasn't the most interesting. The ending was really cool.
Yes. I thought so too. Kind of got everything back on track.
So far, I think this is the most deaths we've seen in an episode, right? Because we get, the two flashback kills.
Oh, yeah.
And then the principal at the end.
The principal at the end, yeah.
Is that it?
That was it.
Anybody else? No, he doesn't, right? No, yeah.
I believe that was it, yeah. Yeah, the whole thing of the flashbacks, I think, was a little confusing for me. Mm-hmm. But, because I'm not, like you said, I'm the most casual Child's Play Chucky fan out there. All of this stuff going on, I can kind of slowly kind of piece together. And it, to me, it just seemed like just the writing seemed a little needlessly complicated. And for me, anyways. And, I thought the other kind of boring thing was the kids are now together, or they're at least making out now. Big moment for
which
Jake
I
and
was
Devin.
Like, that's a really cute thing, but also, I mean, at this stage of my life, I get a little weirded out when I see kids making out on screen. It's just kind of weird to me, but I get how it's supposed to be sweet. It's just. You know, she does play Nika Pierce, and since you mentioned that, I was like, oh, yeah, no shit. I don't know why I forgot about, I did see the Cult of Chucky episode, or movie, and it is centered on her, the Brad Dourif's daughter, being in a wheelchair, the entire thing. So that's why I was like, oh, that's right, that's the same woman. And at the end of the movie, That's the one where it seemed like a reboot of Chucky, but then Chucky starts to peel off the outer layer, and then you see it's the old Chucky with stitches and stuff.
Gotcha. So they're just sort of...
And he does possess her at some point. I forgot about that. Like, at the end, I think, because I don't know.
Yeah. I don't like that. I feel like that's for the... Like, I was... So far, I've been okay with the way they've incorporated the movies. It seems pretty... like easy to follow is probably the easiest way to say that. Just very easy to follow. Like, this person's here, this person's here, we'll get to this, you know. Like the fact that the voice on the phone of the first episode we know is going to be the first kid, right? But that they've kind of like are lacing it into the show now. And at some point I figured Jennifer Tilly was going to come back, and they were doing the whole origin thing. This bit in this episode to me feels the most like too much mythology, you know what I mean, for Chucky. Like, it was too like the least digestible part thing they've done so far of trying to fit their mythology or their stories that they've fit, in my opinion.
It sounds like the fans are gonna ask you to watch the movies then, so you
No, I refuse. I'm not.
Because I think we gotta follow this or don't, because this is all like Don Mancini also directed Cult of Chucky. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know?
He's so I think created and wrote, I think, the majority of them, I believe, right?
Pretty much all of them, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know he had a heavy hand in when the reboot, with meaning like when they did Bride of Chucky and and all the preceding ones, he's been kind of the guiding hand of the series ever since. And up to this point in this TV show, I think he's done a really terrific job. And it seems like he's doing so far. We've really enjoyed Chucky too. This first season, this first five episodes. Just this one, I felt like was it was a little slow for me. It was a little like things that they were paying off a lot of stuff. Nothing really happened except for maybe the best thing that happened in this episode was the end with the principal dying. That felt like a catalyst for like, oh, can't wait to see what's on the next episode, because now this town is, since it kind of happened like in front of the whole town and all these parents, and they're already instilling a curfew, it seems like there's more stakes now, there's more awareness. You know, there's more things going on with the kids. There's more at stake now. So,
yeah,
this episode just seemed like an in between one.
Yeah, they're trying to flip the script on a bunch of things, right? Like, kids are all friends now, right? The enemy seems to be the mayor now, not anybody else.
Right.
Even Devin Sawa is pissed off at his son for just being a dick to, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It feels like it's setting up, you know.
And
like,
then his fucking aunt, her big reveal is that she has cancer. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, there's nothing funny about cancer, John. But no, man, you know? But the way that he did it was clunky.
Because they set it up like it was going to be something really scandalous and really fun. And like, nope, it's cancer. She's just very close to dying is basically it. Because it was like, oh, stage 4 cancer. It reminded me of that scene in The Room where it's like, oh, so how did the doctor go, Mom? And the mom's like, well, yeah, it's cancer. And it's like, okay. That's what it felt like. I'm wondering if that lady is going to be accidentally possessed or like inadvertently possessed by a character, and then that person's going to get fucked and have cancer too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like.
I'm not sure what the setup is for that.
Yeah, I think one of the setups is that Devin's dying, or like you predicted Junior would die, which are like the young kids. More kids are going to die.
Yeah.
I think I'll give it credit for.
I did. That's another thing I accidentally saw because
I need present John. I don't need future John. Yeah. Boiling.
It is. I don't know when this is gonna happen, but there is a cool little tussle with one of the kids.
Okay. Something to look forward to in the future. I don't know.
I fucked up trying to like look up where oh my god, what's her name, shit, Nika character, Brad Dourif's daughter, Fiona.
Yes.
Where I was just looking up, like, was Fiona, like, where, what do I know her from? I know it's Brad Dourif's daughter, but has she been anything else? And then I accidentally saw a couple things and I was like, I need to stop looking her up. It's ruining the surprises.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I didn't get far enough to remember that she was in Cult of Chucky, which I think was the last movie, right? Before they did the remake?
Oh, I don't know. Yes, probably, yes.
Because it came out in 2017-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like we've known that she was a part of this series.
Right? I did, yeah. I mean, we talked about it. I just didn't know at what capacity or what she was supposed to play.
Gotcha.
But then I just didn't remember that she was in the last movie.
Gotcha. Okay.
I just didn't remember she was the main fucking actress, the whole focal point and piece of the entire movie that I saw. That's right. How much I remember that movie.
She also kind of looks like a younger Angela Betts.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, whatever. So.
Well.
Perfectly chromulated episode. Nothing too spectacular about it, this one.
No.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to add to that? Or?
No, I think I'm good. I'm trying to think of if there's anything important about this also, again.
I think we kind of covered it. We got the Nika is coming back. Bradley Dourif's, Nika, who played somebody in Cult of Chucky. We see Jennifer Tilly. We establish, that Chucky's moving to a different doll now. He killed the principal. Town's more in height.
Which is, I got to say, Jenna Peck, right? That's who played the principal? Principal Megan McVeigh, yeah. Didn't it feel like she was like out of place the entire time? Like she looked way too hip compared to everybody else.
Actually, I don't remember her from the other episodes.
She had the cool big glasses and she was always like, hey, if you need anything, just let me know, blah, blah, blah.
I thought that was the teacher.
Oh, maybe it was the teacher. I don't know. Anyway, her head is cut off and that's it. It says that some of Chucky's former enemies came back in this episode. And
I read that too. I think there is, I guess, because of Tiffany and the other Nika showed up. I don't know. I read that same plot summary, and I'm like, that didn't track with me either.
No. I mean, I guess so, because Nika was the main protagonist of that movie.
Right. Right.
I guess. I don't know.
But then they're not... The way that's written, it's kind of insinuating that, that they showed up in our, like, the present timeline with the kids and stuff, which I don't recall seeing any kind of connection to the stuff that was happening in the past.
No, not yet.
Happening now.
We also haven't seen Jennifer Tilly. The thing is, the Cult of Chucky movie, again, that's like 2017, so it's not too far away.
Right.
So I don't know what reveal is going to happen. Again, I accidentally saw something. So anyway.
All right.
Maybe we should move on before I ruin it.
All right.
I'd be like painstakingly trying not to mention what I saw because I'm like, yeah, but this, and I was like, no, that's going to ruin it.
Yeah, how many episodes was this again? We're almost done, right? For the first season? Technically?
I think so. I think it's only 8.
It's... Right. Was it... What's the actual count?
8.
Oh, so it is 8. Okay, yeah. Okay. So
we are 3 more till the end of the season.
Things are really going to start.
We got a whole another year.
Yeah. for Yellow Jackets. Alrighty, let's move over to our main review, Knife Plus Heart. Is that the best way to say that? Knife Plus Heart?
Sure, I don't know. Knife and heart, but it's spelled out like knife plus heart. I know it's written out in French. Un couteau dans le corps.
Nailed it. All right, let's do knife plus heart. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Knife Plus Heart, coming in at number 1, confirmed, Quiet Riot cover gay. That's why I sent you the picture before.
God. Now I get it. Now I got it. Did he get it? I was like, why is he saying this to me? Does he want me to look at the music or buy the album for him? Or what the fuck is going on?
Long con setup that nobody's aware of on this episode. I did.
Yeah.
And coming in at number 2 for Knife Plus Heart, Perry porn star is getting offed.
Yeah, accurate.
And coming in at number 3 for Knife Plus Heart, Deadpool kills some sex workers.
Deadpool kills some sex workers. Who's Deadpool? Ryan Reynolds was in this?
Yeah. Basically towards the end, right? Just the end? When you realize Deadpool was in the movie? And as an added bonus for Knife Plus Heart,
okay,
Jose El Hombre deserved better.
Yeah, it did. All right, John, what did you think of Knife Plus Heart?
It's painfully French. No, I really enjoyed it. It is very surrealistic, very throwback 70s. It kind of reminded me of sort of psychedelic 70s horror. I think like Houssou, even though it's a Japanese film, is kind of a good idea of what kind of horror film this is. Yeah. And it's also very funny.
Yes.
Like it takes itself serious enough, but it also wants you to enjoy what's going on.
Right.
Like there is some very inventive deaths.
Yeah. It's like a almost the exact same plot of The Editor.
Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking too.
But not funny. Like not the absurdist funny thing, but just like I guess they're maximizing the sort of the setting of the movie, because it's supposed to be, what does it say, late 70s in Paris, so there's a lot of like
79
funny clothes and hair and outfits and stylistic. Definitely the movie has like a interesting vibe to it.
Yes. And again, it's like funny. It's the description of the movie,
mm-hmm,
I guess, is the best you can come up with, because I would not know how to describe this, like, to summarize this movie. Because you can say, like, hey, actors on this LGBTQ, oh, I guess back then it was only LGB. No, LGBT.
Yeah.
Film are porn set are getting killed or I don't understand why. I'll be honest. I mean, I kind of get why a little bit, but it's also kind of very
thin.
That's exactly the word I was going to use. It's very, very loose connections to why this person is a slasher. And then there's like no way you can figure out who this person is.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Which I think was intentionally supposed to be a joke too, but it was kind of like, oh, I kind of wanted, which I hope it's not a spoiler that I say there's a killer, right? We're watching a horror movie, but I kind of wanted.
The first scene, there's a murder. Yeah.
That's true. Oh, I did write out here. I've been having fun writing out, like, this is what I'm watching right now. And I start paraphrasing or like, let me see if I have it here. Because I remember talking about the cold open, there is no dialogue.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I'm not going to find it. I don't think.
Okay. Sorry. Well, while you're looking for, look at it, I'll just give my first thoughts. And I'll say that I liked it too. It was really good. It's a movie that is about the minutiae, the vibes, you know. It's very slickly directed and shot. And there's a lot of like romance, and it's very smutty, as considering it's what story is about, you know, like gay porn and the summer of 79 is kind of in the descript. I was going to say, I'm a big fan of Vanessa Paradis. Are you familiar with her?
Yeah. She's been around. Yeah, I mean, she's, in my opinion, one of the most famous like gap tooth models.
Yes. You know who her kid is?
Oh, her kid.
Yeah, without looking it up.
No, I don't.
That is one of Johnny Depp's first wife, and that's Lily Rose Depp.
Lily Rose, huh?
Okay. Yeah. You kind of see it, but she also was in the brilliant, everybody should go watch, black and white movie, The Girl on the Bridge. Excellent movie. But this movie, it's a giallo slasher movie.
Yeah.
And it's, but like, not the most it's the least giallo movie you could possibly find in that genre.
I would still consider it a gelato movie, like you're saying.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. It's not complete gelato because it's too soft serve. No, I'm just kidding.
I think they're more interested, because I think there's some interesting like characters, and there's like fun, weird dialogue that kind of doesn't go anywhere, but it's interesting.
There are scenes that have really nothing to do with the movie.
Yeah.
They're just there to be weird.
And I like that I like this character, the main, you know, Vanessa's character, Anne or whatever. She's like sort of this producer of this gay porn, and all the people that she kind of brings in and following her and her, like, basically it's almost like it's just following her and like what she experiences and goes through, the backdrop being this murder, quote unquote murder mystery slasher film.
Yeah, which we don't even meet her until after the credits.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting. Because I had mentioned that the cold open I thought was really cool because it's gay porn set, there's sex, and then one of the actors goes to like a dingy, looks like an industrial nightclub, and then sees somebody, the Quiet Riot mental health cover guy is stalking in the corner, and like just without words decides to follow him, right? And I was like, yeah, this is wild. It's like just super erotic, super gay, super kind of violent, because our slasher guy pulls out what you think you're going to see, a penis, but it's obviously a dildo that has a knife come out of it.
Which I thought that was a really fun review.
And I was like, yeah. And then as soon as the credits rolled, which again, the music was amazing because it's done by, what's his name, M83, because his brother's the guy that directed this movie. And I was telling my partner this, like, yeah, there's been no dialogue. It's like, this movie's like wild. It's kind of awesome. It's beautiful. And then you see our main character getting in a fight with her ex-lover. And I think I typed her, I'm like, lesbians have entered the chat.
Yeah. No, it's true.
The way they set up this movie, it kind of makes you feel like a whodunit for most of it, right? Before you're like, oh, I never would have figured that out. There's no way.
Yeah, exactly. This is
something you get introduced to, like, the last 30 minutes of the movie. But I thought maybe it was her, and then I thought the way the movie was set up, it wouldn't have been too absurd if it ended up being the fluffer. Even though there's a considerable size difference in like what the slasher looks like and what the fluffer looks like.
Right. Yeah.
But it would have been funny if, like, you know, take off the mask and then all of a sudden, you know, for lack of better terminology, the killer becomes more heftier and as soon as the mask comes off.
That's more the editor.
Yeah.
Vibe to it.
But I did enjoy the shit out of it. She had a very Blondie look to her too.
Oh yeah, she had like atomic blonde.
Yeah.
Super blonde type of hair and stuff like that.
So yeah, what else can we
say? She's in love with an editor.
She is in love with the editor.
Yeah.
The porn stars are all very interesting people individually, which I thought mm-hmm. was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think I especially liked the Fluffer. I thought was a funny character.
Yes, he was funny.
At one point, they're like, our boy, Jose El Hombre, is getting fluffed. And he says, so how much do they pay you anyway? And he looks up and he says, like, oh, I don't need money. I live with my mom. It's like, okay.
And then proceeds to fluff the man. That's yeah. pretty much his all he's doing in the movie.
Oh, what did they call him? It wasn't this, but it was something to the effect of like the golden mouth or the something.
I missed that.
Oh, yeah. They called him like several different names.
I think the most I can garner is that like there was Anne had made a porn with all these her usual trope of actors, and then like there was like one guy who was like a big star or whatever, and then like those people in that movie keep getting killed.
Mm.
That was like as far as that was about as much as I could gather, and presumably that story that they made the movie about was something that happened in real life.
Yeah,
but that's kind of else what I got. But it's very like abstract. It was very abstract with that.
And then there's a moment. I mean, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's a moment towards the end that I was like, is this supposed to reveal what happened? Because how would this person know this?
Right.
I was like, is this speculation? Like, what is this? I don't understand. But yeah, then she finds... I don't know if that's a spoiler. It might be. I just don't understand why this killer was basically just following this woman.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a reason why, but...
No, but, like, I don't know why follow this woman and then just kind of off everybody around her. If this person has been with her basically since the beginning and you're just not paying attention to the background, I guess. Because he's even on the set.
I see. Yes.
Because yeah,
I
know the editor sees the killer in the background. Yeah. I was like, I'm missing the connection here, like, or for that... reason, like, well, I don't understand taking everything away from her, I guess, but I don't know if she really cared about the porn film all that much. It's just
I don't think she particularly cared about her her job. I don't think she was particularly
no.
she did it. She made money from it. She did it well, you know.
Yeah.
But No indication in the movie that she was like particularly like passionate or had any like empathy for the actors, the gay actors in it.
Just the her main friend, right? The blonde.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And that was about it. Otherwise, she didn't really give a shit.
Yeah, that's kind of what I gathered too. Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to mention anything else before going to spoilers, or?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop, please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
So, explain in full detail the ending of this movie, Jeff. Go ahead.
Um... we land on a cemetery in the middle of a forest. And this is the best I can do with the to explain this. There is a woman who is confused and wearing a flowy sort of cottagecore dress.
Right.
And our main protagonist gets accosted by her. And this lady's like, I can tell from you're from the city because you're wearing city clothes. They're different clothes. My son's friend went into the city.
You don't have to explain it, John.
No. That's why I was like, okay. So she finds another actor, which I kept forgetting it was that guy, that looked exactly like this other porn actor.
Handsome actor.
Gotten killed in fire.
Yes.
Which is, the ongoing joke is this other actor keeps getting pulled by people saying like, oh, are you like a twin brother? Or like, oh, is it you, the famous this actor? And he's like, no, I just look like him. I get that a lot. Mm-hmm. But of course, it's the same actor playing both parts. His lover got caught by his father and freaked out about it, cut the porn star's genitals off.
The blonde one, right?
Yes. And I don't know how the cottage caught on fire, but he ran out of there completely engulfed in flames.
Essentially ending his career.
I don't know if he was anybody, mad, right? And
started killing people?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think he was like involved with the porn industry at all. I think he just found this guy that he really loved. Because that's what the mother was trying to say at his grave, which the years on it didn't make any sense to me. I guess I wasn't paying.
Yeah, I know, dude.
I was like, wait, how old is this person? That's why I was confused. I thought, like, is this like an ancient ghost? Like, oh no, I've just misread the years, I guess. I don't know. And then there's like a guy that they find a feather. Which I'm like really trying to reach to figure out, like, I'm sure it's like symbolism or something. They find a feather. Right. To a bird that does not exist, but it is a blind bird that apparently is essentially a crow, but they don't want to call it a crow, so they give it some fake-ass name. And this guy is telling this woman, their main protagonist, about the bird, and then reaches his hand out, and he's got a bird hand for her. And the other woman, who I'm assuming was his mom, I don't know, was like, oh, he's got a rare genetic disorder. He is going to turn into a bird eventually. I'm like, okay.
These are the parts that are very French.
That literally no importance to the plot whatsoever. It just happened.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Even though at the end, did you see the credits rolling thing? There's like a long sort of music video style. Towards the end, one of the characters, I think her former lover, is wearing this like belt that has those bird hands holding.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did.
So
yeah.
I'm assuming this is, I don't know. I don't know what this movie's trying to say, but I enjoyed it.
It hates birds. I don't know.
It's weird. Yeah. Maybe all these actors had slept with the porn star.
Because like the other plot description says that Anne produces third-rate gay porn. After her editor and lover Louise leaves her, she tries to win her back by shooting her most ambitious film yet with her trusted flamboyant sidekick Archibald. But once one of her actors is brutally murdered, Anne gets caught up in a strange investigation that turns her life upside down. So those things did happen. I do register that, there's a lot of moments of just like tranquil vibe-y kind of seats.
And a lot of moments that I think are supposed to be mere reflections of her relationship with her former lover and how she should let go. I don't know. Like, there's moments when she's going up to that grave to go visit the grave of that guy that allegedly burned in the fire.
Right.
The lady that takes her at the place she's staying at, whatever that is.
Yeah.
She offers a drink to, and then when she gets back, you know, the lady's like, do you have any more of that stuff? So she drinks a little more. And then her dad, right? Or who is he? Husband? I don't know. That guy that that owns that house that she's staying at. She says, I need a bottle of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, I'll go get one for you. But you gotta promise you're not gonna give any more to this woman, because she used to be an alcoholic and she almost left me. And she's all I have. I was like, okay. And then that's it. That's all you get from that guy too. Like, there's end of his story. But I'm assuming it's supposed to be reflections of what's going on in her life.
Right.
It's a weird movie. It's fun though.
It's fine. Like, yeah, I mean, like, it's, I mean, describing is hard, right? But because it's just like, you're just kind of just going with the flow of it, right? Because it has this amazing soundtrack and ethereal sounding soundtrack and all these things are
cool.
the Anne character is interesting as you're just following her, and there's like really great dialogue, and a lot of it, and tangentially, there's like a loose plot tied together about solving this murder, but it's very abstract. So I don't know, but it's still good, but it's not like, you know, it's not like the easiest thing to follow, or like to describe, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, arty like, movie.
The ending also. So our killer stops wearing the Quiet Riot style looking mask and fake black perm. I think mostly because
they're
already looking for that description of a person. Because he like accidentally killed her former lover because she realizes that he's been stalking her and runs over there and she gets stabbed instead of her.
Right.
In front of her new lover that had no dialogue whatsoever in the movie. So they're at this porn theater. And she's just kind of sitting there for what I'm gathering has been like 12 hours. Just rewatching the film. And he popped up. And then the guy that looks like his former lover showed up to see his own movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the way this all kind of wraps up is he's going to like a peep show thing in the back or something, right? I don't know. Mm-hmm. And he tries to go in there and he's like weeping because he thinks he's, you know, this guy looks exactly like his former lover. And he does not get to kill anybody. And it's almost like the community is finally fighting back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just everybody in the theater, like one guy, like this kind of burly looking dude is like, oh, so you get off killing gay people, huh? And they hold him down, and this other guy comes up and just starts stabbing him while crying. I thought he was something in the movie. I don't think so, right? He's just a random guy. Okay.
I think it's that scene is supposed to mean like I don't know. It's supposed to, there's more meaning behind it than like story plot. There, it's kind of like gay people fighting back against the murder of you know. Of the persecution, you know, I think at some point it's set in 79, so we're like the 80s is just around the corner. We can imagine, you know, there's the AIDS gonna start being more prevalent in culture now, right?
Yeah.
So we can assume that's gonna start popping up. So it's kind of like, I think it was supposed to be more symbolic, I think is what that scene's supposed to be more symbolic of, like gay people kind of like standing up for themselves and fighting back.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I gathered, too. It was just, you know, you don't see any of the other characters anymore.
Well, most of them are dead. Well, Jose's dead. What are you talking
about? That's true. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, we get introduced to a lot of like drag queens, and they're only in there for a little bit, but I think it was just to incorporate as much of the community as possible.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, that's about it. He dies in the theater, and that's the way it kind of ends, except for that weird dreamlike sequence at the end of...
Orgy between all the men. And
Our main, like, her best friend, the guy that was, like, a first AD and then became the new one of the new stars,
mm-hmm.
Is wearing, like, a fawn outfit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's it. That's the movie.
Yeah, it's yeah, you know, it's a strange movie, but yeah, I think it is very effective. It worked.
Something there. I liked it. Yep.
Can't describe it in any way, but I liked what I felt. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Oh
man.
Oh, my favorite death. There's a part where one of the actors goes to a nightclub. I mean, you can tell that they shot everything at the same, like, four places, but he goes to a nightclub, and then he decides to go outside and shoot heroin in an alleyway.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, that's, I guess, where you do that. And the killer shows up and forces him to give him oral pleasure. But, of course, it is the big dildo weapon. And while this guy is, like, crying, it's like this dragged out scene before you see a knife just pop out the back of the guy's head.
Yeah.
I was like, that was fun.
Really, really classy.
Yeah.
Very artistically done. Yeah, no, that was probably the... Oh, I mean, I thought the first kill was cool. It was, like, the way he kind of lured the actor in and everything, and then, like, killed him. Like you mentioned, like, it was... Yeah, the great music and just no dialogue and a lot of really nice color, and, you know, bright, you know, very contrasty colors in it. It was really good. Alrighty. Do you have any other thoughts before we rate it?
No, but I think I'm going to keep this one as, like, something I might watch again.
Okay, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Definitely. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give a knife plus heart 8.5 sexy spooky bones.
Very, very sexy, yes. All right, I'm going to give it a 7. My biggest thing is that it's a little, even for me, it was a little too arty. It's too French. Yeah. It's a little too French, but I did enjoy it. I had no reservations other than the sort of loose plot that wasn't there.
I did preface this review with that. I'm like, it's painfully French.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll give it a 7. Cool. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.